1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you would look there, please, in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Tonight we're going to look at verses 6 through 13, but I want us to begin reading verse 1 just to remind ourselves of the context for the verses that we will look at tonight. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, what we've just sung about, Lord, is our joy. We recognize it to be a reality that your word is indeed at work in our lives, which is to say, Lord, you are at work in our lives. For Lord, you are the one who, with your word, deals with hearts and minds and changes us and brings men and women, young people to yourself through faith in your Son. We ask you tonight, Lord, to bless the preaching of your word in this place. Our desire, Lord, is that you would be magnified in our minds and hearts, that, Lord, we would leave tonight astounded by who you are. Or that we would leave tonight with you first and foremost in our thoughts. That our hearts would be full of joy and praise and love toward you for who you are and for what you have done in our lives. So Lord, help tonight this weak vessel in some way to declare your word with power. May this time of preaching be a demonstration of your Spirit's presence here among us and of your power at work in our midst. Lord, we will rejoice to know that we have met with the living God around His Word. We continue to pray for those in our midst who are lost, and we ask you to save. And Father, we give you praise for salvation is of the Lord. We know, Lord, that men do not come to you in their own power, but Lord, it is due to your working in their hearts. We give you thanks. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. To say that the Corinthians should not be enamored with human wisdom, and to say the same concerning ourselves tonight, that we should not be enamored with human wisdom, is not to say that they or that we are without wisdom. The child of God, the one who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, possesses true wisdom. It's not a wisdom that the world knows. It's not a wisdom that the world accepts. But it is the most profound wisdom imaginable. It is the very wisdom of God Himself. And Paul wants to make that clear. He says in verse 5 that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet, he says, among the mature we do impart wisdom. He's saying, in effect, listen, I'm not telling you not to desire wisdom. I'm telling you to desire the right wisdom. I'm telling you to desire God's wisdom. And then what we find in verses 6 through 13 is a description of what God's wisdom is not and what God's wisdom is. And really, that's our outline for tonight. It's very simple. We're going to just walk through these verses together. We're going to pay attention. There's a lot here to gather to gain our attention if we'll just pay attention. We're just going to walk through the verses and we're going to pay attention to what God tells us about His wisdom. He tells us what it is not and He tells us what it is. And I begin tonight with this thought, what His wisdom is not, what the wisdom of God is not. And the first thing He tells us that it's not is, it is not a wisdom of this age. Verse 6, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. It is not a wisdom of this age. It is not a wisdom that originated in time and that will pass away with time. It's not a wisdom that has as its source the great men of this time. By the way, when he talks about the rulers of this age, I don't think he's talking necessarily about kings and monarchs. I think what he's talking about is, the word has to do with preeminence. The preeminent men of this age, the leaders of this present age that we live in. The wisdom that we're to desire is not a wisdom that finds its source in men. It's not a wisdom that found its source in this age in which we live. It's not earthly wisdom. And it's amazing how men flatter themselves because we rarely refer to human philosophy in the same terms that God does. And if we were to say you are wise with worldly wisdom, many of us might take that as a compliment. But listen to what the Bible says about earthly wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, which is to say natural, demonic. I mean, if the wisdom you're operating in is not heaven's wisdom, if the wisdom we're operating in is not God's wisdom, then what is it? It is earthly. It has its source, its explanation in this age. It is natural. It's what man is capable of by nature. And shockingly, he says, it is informed by demons. It is demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and of good fruits, impartial and sincere. He says you can know which wisdom you're operating in by its fruits. Where earthly wisdom is at work, there is disorder of every kind. There is that which is evil being worked out, but where God's wisdom is at work, there is purity and peace and gentleness, teachability that is open to reason, full of mercy. There will be good fruits, impartiality, sincerity. The wisdom that we're to desire is a wisdom that is not of this age. Second, it is not a wisdom understood by the rulers of this age. He says, among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom of God is outside the reach of man if man is left to himself. The greatest minds this world has ever had to offer cannot, if not assisted by God, could not have ever taken hold of the wisdom that we have come to know in salvation. It is a wisdom beyond the understanding of man if man is left to himself. The proof of that, the proof that natural man cannot understand the wisdom of God if left to himself, is that men did not understand the wisdom of God when He stood right before them. When you had the wisdom of God incarnate, when you had Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, come from heaven to earth, born of a virgin, living a sinless life right in front of men, they could not understand what they were seeing. They did not identify Him as the wisdom of God incarnate. They did not hear in His words the wisdom of God. They did not see in His deeds the wisdom of God. If left to himself, what man does is he rejects the wisdom of God. And Jesus Christ is the embodiment of that truth. His life on this earth and what happened with respect to Him, that is proof of this truth. Man who belongs to time does not have it in his capacity, if left to himself, to understand that which transcends time. John Calvin put it well. He says, "For it's not right that a matter of eternal significance should depend on the authority of those who are passing away and perishing." You notice what he says there in verse, by the way, just a side note, at the end of verse 6, what he says about the rulers of this age, they are doomed to pass away. So here you have men belonging, they had a beginning to their existence, and they are doomed to pass away, and they feel qualified to pass judgment on the wisdom of God, a wisdom that has no beginning and no end, because it is God's wisdom, eternal wisdom. And here are these finite creatures thinking that they have it in their ability to judge the wisdom of God. It is timeless. Calvin goes on to say, "For it is not right that a matter of eternal significance should depend on the authority of those who are passing away and perishing, unable to give perpetuity even to themselves." I mean, they can't even extend their own existence. Their existence depends on God. Who are they then to judge the wisdom of God? Calvin went on to say this, "The reason he gives for the small value put on the teaching of the gospel by the rulers of this world is that it is wrapped up in mysteries, and for that reason concealed. For the gospel towers over the insight of the human mind, so that those who are considered intellectually of the first rank may look as high as they like, but they never reach its eminence. In the meantime, however, they look down upon its insignificance as if it were prostrate at their feet. In consequence, the more haughtily they despise it, the further are they from knowing it. More than that, they are standing at so great a distance from it that they are prevented from seeing it." So that the glorious wisdom of God is beyond the reach of finite human beings, immortal souls, but having an existence, being brought into existence in time, the wisdom of God is beyond our grasp if God just leaves us to ourselves. And man in his sinful pride, arrogance, and ignorance judges the wisdom of God as though it's unworthy of him. And as he looks down upon the wisdom of God, he is at such a great distance from it, he'll never see it. And the proof of it is what they did with our Lord. Verse 8, "None of the rulers of this age understood this wisdom, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They looked at the wisdom of God incarnate, and what was their judgment? Their judgment was he was to be done away with. Consider the wise, the noble, and the powerful from the Jewish world. They called for the death of Jesus. Consider the wise, the noble, and the powerful from the Gentile world, the Roman world, and they conceded to his death. And so both the Jewish world and the Gentile world agreed that God's wisdom incarnate was not worthy of their acceptance, but rather was to be rejected. And this is where natural man still is. So, it's not a wisdom of this age. It's not a wisdom understood by the rulers of this age, by the greatest minds of this age. Take the highest intellect possible, and apart from God's grace, it cannot comprehend the wisdom of God. Third, it is not a wisdom, this goes hand in hand with the first two, it is not a wisdom discoverable by men. I mean, man has a desire to discover. You know, why did we send a manned mission to the moon? Why do we put up the Hubble telescope? Why do we have a space program? But man has this insatiable desire to discover. But God's wisdom, if man is left to himself, is beyond his ability to discover. Verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. And what Paul does here is he quotes actually from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 4. Listen to it in the Old Testament. It says this, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. God, no one but you knows what you have planned when it comes to those whom you have chosen to save. And you notice what he says in verse 9? How man is limited in his natural state. This wisdom that is from God, you can't get it by observation. No eye has seen what God has planned. You can't gather this wisdom just by attentive listening. Nor ear has heard. And perhaps most instructive, you'll never find this wisdom by looking inside yourself. The heart has never imagined, the heart of man has never even conceived of what God decreed from all eternity when it comes to the salvation of His people. What God has purposed, what God has planned, this wisdom of God that is put on display in salvation is something that man would have never, ever dreamed of and never discovered. Not through the eye gate, not through the ear gate, and not by looking inside himself. It is absolutely beyond the ability of man to discover on natural terms. And that's so instructive even for us who have been given this wisdom, folks. Maybe you're going through a hard time sometimes. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. And all of a sudden what happens is we become so introspective as if the answer is going to be found down in the recesses of our heart. I want to encourage you tonight to remember the wisdom of God is not found there. The wisdom of God is found here. And the wisdom of God that is expressed in Scripture is most of the times at odds with what may be going on in the realm of our emotions. If you say, who am I and why am I here and what's going on in my life and what does my life mean and what is the meaning of my life and all of that, the answer is not to look inside yourself. The answer is to look into the Word of God and listen to the wisdom of God. So this is not a wisdom discoverable by men on their own. Something else he tells us in terms of what God's wisdom is not, verses 12 and 13. God's wisdom is not imparted in the words of human wisdom. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now remember what we've already seen. Only God knows the mind of God perfectly. And if what is to be found in the mind of God can never be discovered by man on his own, not through the eye gate, not through the ear gate, not by searching inside himself, which is why even the greatest philosophers the world has ever known, if you're talking about Plato or Socrates or Epimenides or any of those guys, they never came to the knowledge of God through their thinking. No one can know the mind of God except God. And so the wisdom that is found in the mind of God, how could man ever come to possess it? How could man, who cannot discover the wisdom of God on his own, ever come to be in possession of the wisdom of God? The answer is God must grant it. And he must grant it by revealing it. You see, to know the wisdom of God, there must be revelation. God has to let us know what is in his mind. God has to make it known. That's revelation. And what God chose to do is he chose to reveal his mind, to reveal his wisdom in human language taught by the Holy Spirit. God has made himself known in many ways throughout the ages. The crescendo of God's revelation of himself is his Son, Jesus Christ. But what we have in Scripture is the revelation of the mind of God. This tells us what is the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God, the Word of God. And so what God did is he gave his Holy Spirit to the church. The Holy Spirit was given so that we could understand all that God has given to us in salvation. And the Holy Spirit taught the teachers, those whom the Lord would use to record His Word, the Holy Spirit taught the teachers so that we might have the wisdom of God imparted to us. What they recorded for us in the pages of God's Word are the words of God. You see, God didn't just reveal concepts or ideas. And he didn't do it in a dictation fashion. He bore them along in such a way that what these men recorded were the very words of God. What we have in Scripture is God's breath. They are God-breathed words. The words are inspired. It is a wisdom not expressed in the language of human wisdom, but it is wisdom expressed with words chosen by God. And then God does something else. If you look at the end of verse 13, he says, "And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." And I know there are some issues there regarding translation, some different ways this could be translated. But I think it's interesting that it could be read this way, that not only has God given the Holy Spirit to the church, and the Holy Spirit's been given so that we can understand everything God has given us. And the Holy Spirit taught the teachers so that they could, so that we could have God's wisdom imparted to us. But then on top of that, the Holy Spirit has made spiritual people who can receive spiritual wisdom. We know it, don't we? We know it from Scripture and we know it in experience that you can have the wisdom of God written down for men to read, and yet this book is still closed to anyone who is not capable of receiving its wisdom. You can read the Bible over and over again, and it's still a closed book to you until the Lord opens your heart. Amen? And so God gave not only His Holy Spirit to give us a holy book, but then the Holy Spirit makes spiritual people who can receive the holy book. This is not wisdom imparted in the words of human wisdom. Which leads to a fifth thing that we see here that the wisdom of God is not. It is not then a wisdom available to everyone. It is a wisdom available to everyone in the sense that wisdom, as you see in the book of Proverbs, like she stands there on a high hill and she cries out to anyone who'll listen to come in and to buy from her and to receive from her. In that sense, wisdom is available to everyone, calling out to everyone. But we know that wisdom can never be accessed. Wisdom can never be received apart from salvation. He says in verse 6, among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age. And then we're going to get to this next Sunday. Look what he says in verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. What do we have in the gospel? What do we have in Scripture? We have the things of the Spirit of God. This is the product of the Spirit of God. And yet, if you're a natural person, you don't accept it. In fact, not only do you not accept it, you're not able to. Look again at verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. What are the things of the Spirit of God to him? They're foolishness to him. And then he says this, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, you have to have a spiritual capacity to be able to receive spiritual things. Which is why regeneration is necessary in order for there to be a reception of the gospel. This is why regeneration precedes faith. Because only those who have the spiritual capacity can ever receive spiritual truth. What is a natural man? Verse 14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Well, what is a natural person? Someone who is just as they were from birth. Someone who is just as they were from birth because of the fall of Adam. Man in his natural state since the fall. That's a natural person. He doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. He can't. He's not able to understand them. What does it mean to not be a natural person? It means you're a spiritual person. What does that mean? It means you have the Holy Spirit. It means you've been made a new creature. It means you have a new nature. By the way, when we say this wisdom in its depths is not available to everyone, that's true when we talk about lost people versus saved people. There's also a sense in which we can also say this, that this wisdom is only available to you as you walk in the Spirit of God. Or to say it this way, as you stay submitted to the Spirit of God. You notice in verse 6, he says, among the mature. And then chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Paul is writing to people, he clearly considers these people to be Christians. And he says in chapter 3, verse 1, but I, what's the next word he uses? What's the word? Brothers. Pretty clear, right? But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. I can't talk to you like spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready. There are depths to be discovered in the wisdom of God that we're introduced to in Jesus Christ. There are depths to that wisdom that we're not ready for without maturity. Isn't it an amazing thing? We had to have the Holy Spirit's work in us to even receive the gospel. Now we have to have the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in us to be able to mine the depths of the gospel. There are those things that just lie on the surface and you learn those things the day you're saved. And then there are the deep things of God found in this marvelous, unimaginable wisdom. But to get to those things, you must remain submitted to the Holy Spirit's teaching work so that you mature. So that you're ready to receive the things that you will discover as you grow in the Christian life. What does it mean to be spiritual? It means that you have the Lord. It means that you have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So you have natural people and spiritual people, but even among spiritual people, you have mature people and immature people. people who can digest solid food and people who just need milk. So he tells us what God's wisdom is not. It's not of this age. It's not understood by the great minds of this age apart from God's grace. It is not a wisdom that men can discover on their own, not by the eye gate, not by the ear gate, not by looking inside themselves. It is not a wisdom that's imparted in the language of human wisdom, but rather in a language taught by the Holy Spirit. It is not a wisdom available to everyone. You must be saved, and even then there are depths to this wisdom that you cannot enjoy and take hold of unless you are maturing in the faith. But now let's look at these verses and turn them around and look at them from a positive angle. What is the wisdom of God? Verse 7, God's wisdom is a wisdom hidden in God. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. What the apostles imparted, what we have in Scripture, was a wisdom hidden in God. That is, and I take this in two ways. Hidden in God, first of all, in that it is found, it originates from God's mind alone. And the only way we could have ever known about it was for God to reveal it. This is why the church is referred to as a mystery. Because you don't find the church revealed in the Old Testament revelation. That came with the New Testament revelation. So the church was a mystery, hidden in times past, made clear, revealed now in the age we're living in. And that's true with all of God's wisdom. Let me ask you this. How would we have ever known how the world came into being if God hadn't told us? You say, well, Darwin could have figured it out, right? You know I'm kidding. In fact, those kinds of attempts, you know what those are? Nonsense. Foolishness. You cannot, by science, explain a miracle. A miracle is a miracle. And when God brings something into existence out of nothing, and does it by His Word, there is no scientific process available to man by which we can explain that. Any more than you could have stood outside of the tomb of Lazarus after God raised him from the dead, done some tests on him, and told us how God did that. No, the wisdom of God is hidden in God in the sense that only God could make it known to us. We couldn't have discovered it on our own. I think it's also hidden in God in another way. That is, the only way you ever access that wisdom is when you have a relationship with Him. In that sense, it is hidden in God. You cannot understand these truths apart from the possession of the Holy Spirit Himself. If you're not in the Lord, then this wisdom is outside your grasp. Only through the activity of God can the wisdom be known. Second, it is a wisdom contained in God's decrees. What is this wisdom that the apostles imparted? Verse 7, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. This wisdom, you see, is that which God decreed before the ages for our glory. When he says for our glory, I take him to mean for our salvation. This wisdom was decreed before the ages for our glory, for our salvation. He says, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. What is it that eye doesn't see and ear doesn't hear and the heart could never imagine? What is it? What God has prepared for those who love Him. You see, this has to do with salvation. And what is being worked out throughout the history of redemption, what is being worked out in the saving of men and women, is the wisdom of God that was decreed from all eternity. Salvation decrees. You remember we saw this already? When he defined the wisdom that is found in Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 30, He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom. And we learn that those next three terms are actually the exegesis of the wisdom of God that's found in Jesus Christ. What is the wisdom that is found in Jesus Christ? What kind of wisdom is Jesus to us? He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. This truth that man can stand before God justified, declared righteous in the sight of God, not based upon a righteousness of his own, but an alien righteousness that's been given to him as a gift through faith in Jesus Christ. That's nothing that man would have ever imagined. This idea that God would take a people out of the common people of the world and take them out of darkness and make them his very own. This idea of being sanctified unto the Lord, holy ones of God, the saints of God, standing before God, not based upon what they've done, but what He did for them. That's a wisdom not found in man. The idea that we'd be purchased with blood, with the blood of the Son of God. This is nothing that man would have ever dreamed. This is God's wisdom. And those truths, the truths of salvation, were decreed by God before the ages. And not only was the way of salvation decreed before the ages, but the ones to be saved, their future was decreed before the ages too. We learn that in the book of Ephesians, don't we? Chapter 1. What kind of wisdom is this? It's a wisdom hidden in God. It's a wisdom contained in the decrees of God. Third, it's a wisdom focused on the blessing of God's beloved. What kind of wisdom is it? Verse 7. It's the wisdom which God decreed before the ages for our salvation, for our glory. What kind of wisdom is it? It's the kind of wisdom that speaks of what God has prepared for those who love Him, into verse 9. This is the wonder of the wisdom of God from our point of view, that God would decree anything that would put us in such a position of privilege. That before you were ever born, before you ever existed on this earth, God had a plan with respect to your salvation. What kind of wisdom is this? It's a wisdom focused on the blessing of His beloved. Fourth, it is a wisdom revealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, these things God has revealed to us. He's made these things known to us. How? Through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What is this wisdom? It is the expression of the depths of God. What is being unveiled to us on the pages of Scripture are the depths of God. Or to say it another way, what is being expressed are the thoughts of God. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him. He's using an illustration here. I mean, who really knows your mind better than you? I know sometimes we feel like we don't even know what we think ourselves. But no one knows what you think better than you. Is that not true? You ever thought something but not given full expression to it? Can we be honest tonight? Have you ever met someone you don't really like, but you didn't act like you didn't like them? Right? Oh, wonderful to see you. And secretly you're thinking, oh, that I ran into them. I can't believe that. No one's ever done that, right? Hello? I'm not saying it's right. Okay? I'm just trying to illustrate something. So no one knows what's in your mind better than who? You. What do we have in the wisdom of God? We have the thoughts of God. Who knows the thoughts of God but God? Who is the Spirit of God? He is God. So that what we have revealed to us in the pages of God's Word are the thoughts of God brought to us by the Spirit of God. Searching out, exploring the depths of God, and then revealing those things to us. It is the expression of what the Holy Spirit comprehends. Which is why, as much as we study this book, it is inexhaustible. Because no one can comprehend. We can try to apprehend, but no one can comprehend the mind of God but God. And what we have on the pages of God's Word are the depths of God. We search and we find these verses rich and they feed our souls. But we can study this book, and we will for the rest of our existence on this earth as God's people, and never, ever exhaust it. Because these are the thoughts of God. It is a wisdom revealed by the Holy Spirit. It is a wisdom revealed through the apostles. Verse 12. When Paul writes, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, and we impart this," you see, "in words." I think he speaks primarily here for the apostles. How the Corinthians received this gospel revelation. How we have received the Word of God. The apostles brought to us this New Testament doctrine by virtue of the Holy Spirit's ministry and activity. This is how we got the New Testament revelation. This is how we got these truths that we study. But having said that, I do believe there's an application here to our own experience. Because God gives His Spirit to believers. Isn't it wonderful to know we have a resident truth teacher? I mean, when we study the Word of God, we have the teacher, we have the giver of the Word inside us, in our lives. We have the teacher. And He enables believers to understand the things that we've received in salvation. Verse 12, "We receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, in order that we might understand the things freely given us by God." And then we recognize that these things have been imparted. The apostles imparted these things, but we recognize that what they imparted, it was in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Scripture. As I said, not just the ideas are inspired, the words are inspired. This is why it's an amazing thing to notice when you study the Word of God, how many times one of the writers will make an argument based upon a single word. A plural word versus a singular word. How can they do that? Because the very words are breathed by God, as given originally and in the languages in which they were given. And then God's Word is only understood by people in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. As He tells us at the end of verse 13, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So again, putting it positively, it's a wisdom hidden in God. It's a wisdom contained in God's decrees. It's a wisdom focused on the blessing of God's beloved. It's a wisdom revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's a wisdom revealed through the apostles. It's a wisdom imparted through chosen words, as we've said, verse 13. And then finally, we can say this, it's a wisdom. We've dealt with this already, but I'll just underscore it. It's a wisdom available to mature believers in terms of its depths, verse 6. Among the mature, we do it. Why does he mention this here? Among the mature, we are imparting wisdom because they've got a problem in Corinth. They're not mature. The very reason that they cannot recognize the difference between God's wisdom and human wisdom, the only way that a person would ever have a hunger and thirst for human wisdom when they could have divine wisdom is they don't recognize the value of divine wisdom. And the only way you could ever miss the value of divine wisdom is if you're saved, is if you are spiritually immature. Isn't it funny how children will count as valuable cheap things and treat valuable things as if they're cheap. A child will make sure that nobody messes with their toy, and then they'll trash your car. Why is it? Because in their immaturity, they don't recognize the true value of things. And when a Christian finds his or her mind drawn out to the wisdom of this world and ignoring the Word of God, the only explanation for that has to be spiritual immaturity. And that's the problem in Corinth, which is why he goes to chapter 3, verse 1. I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, as babes. As babes. So let me ask you as we finish tonight, do you have access to this wisdom? The only way to have access to this wisdom is Jesus. God made Him our wisdom. He is our wisdom. Do you have Him? The Son of God came from heaven to earth to live for us and to die for us, that we would be brought to God. There is no way to God apart from Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Have you been brought to the Father through faith in Jesus Christ? Do you have access to this wisdom? This wisdom is hidden in God. The only way to know it is in God. Do you value and desire this wisdom? I'll never forget, as a brand new Christian, reading about Solomon, when he could have asked for anything, asking for wisdom. And I remember as a 16, 17-year-old young man saying to God, Lord, if You don't give me anything else, I just knew enough to listen to Solomon. Lord, if You don't give me anything else, please grant me wisdom. I began to study the book of Proverbs and read through the book of Proverbs early on in my walk with God, just asking God to impart wisdom to me. You know, the first step to getting wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The first step to getting wisdom is to know you need wisdom. If any man's wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than for that man. So you've got to know that you need wisdom, and you've got to understand the value of wisdom. So that if you couldn't have anything else, what you want is wisdom. Not just any kind of wisdom, God's wisdom. Do you have a hunger and a thirst to know the wisdom of God? To know the Word of God? To have a mind and a life saturated with truth? To see life as it ought to be seen and to live life as it ought to be lived? Is that your greatest desire? Which leads to a third question. Will you live according to that wisdom? Solomon's a sad story, isn't he? He knew enough to ask for wisdom, and God gave him that. But look at the totality of his life. And in many ways, it's tragic, isn't it? Here's a man who knew better. Church, look at the treasure we have. Look at what we have in our possession. And then ask, how are we living? We have the truth. Are we committed to living the truth? And there is no greater tragedy than to have the truth, to know the truth, and to live like you've never been given the truth. Do you have access to this wisdom? Do you have a desire to know it? And then, are you committed to living according to it? May God help us to be a people who desire the right kind of wisdom and who know what the wisdom of God is not and who know what the wisdom of God is. Let's pray together. Lord, we stand amazed at Your grace, that You would take us, we who are fools by nature, and bring us into Your wisdom, the wisdom that is found in Your Son. And that You, Lord, would teach us so that in growing degrees, we're able to see and understand life as it really is, from your vantage point. Lord, help us not to put any confidence in our own wisdom. To trust you with all our hearts, to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you, that we might experience and see what it means to have you make our paths straight. We continue, Lord, to pray for those in our midst who are lost. They gather with us, Lord, but they don't belong to us yet. We pray that you would place within their heart an unquenchable thirst for you, that you would save them. Grow us, Lord, so that we can receive more and more of this that is your wisdom. Not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, but the wisdom that is found in your salvation decrees. We ask you this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.